Okay, so maybe you've had irregular cycles and you're just wondering if there's anything you could possibly do to help regulate them so that you can be in a space to get pregnant, then you're going to love today's episode. I'm going to dig into three different causes of irregular cycles and how you can help them so that you can get pregnant, and also talking about this from a biblical perspective as well. So let's dive in. Hey, sister, welcome to For the Love of Hormones podcast. Do you have a desire to get pregnant in God's design and be free from the pressure of going straight to IUI or IVF? Hey, I'm Becca. While I was blessed with two children, I then suffered from three miscarriages. I too felt emotionally wrecked anytime I was around a pregnant friend. I wanted to understand God's design for my body and how to care for it naturally, but I just kept telling myself that it was too complicated and I needed to be content with my circumstances. Until I found the answer, hormone health and tracking. In this podcast, you will find answers to all of your period, ovulation, and cycle questions so that you will be able to find the path for getting pregnant in God's design. So sister, for the love of hormones, put that pregnancy test stick down and grab your Bible, matcha green tea, and a journal, because it's time for a Come to Jesus and Hormones meeting.
So working with Becca has helped me understand in simple terms how my body works as a woman. And it is just such an immense blessing to work with a Christian woman who can back what she's saying with scripture and just help me understand it from that perspective. And she has helped me change lots of lifestyle things, but most importantly to me, she has helped me deepen my relationship with God during this time that is really hard. And for that, I'm really, really grateful.
Thank you so much, Katie girl. You are wonderful. It's been a blessing to walk with you and journey with you through the highs and the lows and, you know, the hills and the valleys of this journey. And I know how hard it is, but you've grown so much, not only in your lifestyle, but in your walk with the Lord. And it's beautiful to see him refining you in this trial, right? So thank you so much, Katie. Okay, so before we dive into the meat and potatoes today, I first want to invite you into our Facebook community. Number one, if you're new here, you know, well, now you know, because I'm about to tell you, but I really do not like social media. I'm pretty anti-social media. I don't have any of the things, but I do have a community on Facebook because I know that's where a lot of you are. And I check in there a few times a week. And that's basically the extent of my social media. But I think it's important for us to realize, like, oh man, I'm not the only person like recovering from a miscarriage. I'm not the only person seeking answers for what can I do for this. I'm not the only Christian woman like wondering how do I grow in my trust in God in this fertility journey and just wanting to be pregnant and be healthy and pregnant, you know? So you're not alone in that. And I really encourage you to come and join us in that Facebook community. I would love to get to know you personally, welcome you. And so come see us in there. Just scroll down in the show notes and you can join us there. And before we get into today, like Katie, and like if you've had irregular cycles at all, if you're new here, I have a course. It is called the Fertility Framework. And it is awesome. And if you've heard about it, I know that it can be a little scary to know if it can actually work. So I'm actually going to talk about that at the end of today's episode. I feel like that would be more fitting. So, because I want to dive in. Like, let's dive in. Let's talk about these irregular cycles and how to fix them, right? And the reason I want to talk about that is because I have had so many clients who have come to me who have had irregular cycles. And unfortunately, it's really common and it's also extremely frustrating. I've had one who, I mean, man, not disclosing names or anything like that here, but she'd been on birth control for a really long time and then had gotten off of it. And her cycles just like never really came back. And then she got to working with me and I taught her how to chart her cycle. And we started to look into, okay, well, what's going on with your charting? What's going on with your cervical mucus? What is it telling us? And it was like, nothing was going on. And man, it's like so frustrating to me to see the impacts of birth control on a woman. But the good news is like, there's a lot of things that we can do. And so like, we're working through, checking off, going through the checklist of all the different things that we could do for this person. And I mean, I've had others who, it's like such a common story, honestly, but just like being on the pill and then getting off of it and having troubles getting pregnant. And it's really frustrating. So I've had a lot of clients who have been dealing with that. And I've probably had a few who have irregular cycles who it's probably not birth control related. Honestly, you guys, like probably 90% of my clients have been on birth control. So most of them have had that to deal with, of kind of detoxing from that and trying to get your endocrine system reset from that. So it is difficult, but there can be some other things that can cause irregular cycles, and we're going to kind of go into that as well. But I want to kick us off with scripture and with where we can fix our heart and our minds and our eyes as we are delving into this difficult topic. And it's like a difficult topic, but it's not at the same time. It's difficult in that if you're experiencing this, it can be so frustrating. Like, you're just waiting for your period to come. You're waiting for your period to come. You're testing if you're pregnant, but you're not pregnant. And you're just like, what is going on? Why can't my cycles just be regular? When is my period going to come? Why is it different this month than last month? And it can just be really frustrating. And so the first and most important thing, the first most important reason I do want to say that could be impacted by irregular cycles, and I'm going to bring our scripture into this, and then I'll go through the other causes of irregular cycles. But the first and most important one is, you guys, we live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. And not only do we live in this broken world, we as women are dealing with a lot fertility-wise based off of what is in the Word of God and what happened with sin entering the world. After God created everything and He said that it was good, there was the fall, you know, call it what you want, but sin came into the world. Eve sinned, Adam sinned, and there were some consequences because of that. So in Genesis 3:16, unto the woman God said, I will multiply thy sorrows, and I will multiply thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And we're going to focus on the first part of that, because I think it's really, really profound how the two clauses are together. I will multiply thy sorrow and thy conceptions. And for someone who is having irregular cycles and wanting to be pregnant, you might look at that verse and think, well, this clearly doesn't apply to me because I'm not getting pregnant. My conceptions are not being multiplied. But I want us to really stop and think about what that verse is telling us. Because if we think about it, we can interpret it in such a way that sorrow is connected to conceptions. And for some people, this is going to look like, you do have a lot of conceptions, and it's actually physically taxing and emotionally taxing and difficult to have that many pregnancies. So it could mean that, but we also look at other hardship in conception. Some women get pregnant and then lose the baby in miscarriage or in stillbirth. And that is sorrow connected to conception. And you guys know I've firsthand experienced that multiple times, and it's absolutely devastating. And then we can look at this in even another way of sorrow or hardship being connected to getting pregnant and conceiving in general. And so when you look at from the beginning of the creation of the world, women were going to be like, hey, you're going to have some sorrow and hardship in getting pregnant or in your fertility world. I call it like the fertility umbrella. So make a cute little umbrella. Well, cute, right? It's not cute. It's not very fun to deal with. But make a little umbrella, and you put all these things underneath that umbrella of fertility, and know, like, oh, poop, there's a stamp of sorrow and hardship on that. There's a stamp of sorrow and hardship on getting pregnant for some people, on getting pregnant and losing the baby, or on, girl, you can't stop getting pregnant, like the quote-unquote fertile myrtles that, you know, you wish you could be. But the women who are them are like, oh man, what do I do? And, you know, they can do other things to avoid naturally and all that. But the big point is like this is just what we're dealing with. So you read that in Genesis 3:16 and continue to read the rest of the Bible, and you see difficulty in conceiving in all of the matriarchs, all of the wives of the patriarchs in the Old Testament dealt with infertility for a period of time. We see it in so many women. We see it in so many different instances. We see not just difficulty in getting pregnant, but we see like a touch of miscarriage and how difficult that is in the Bible. And then we just see other fertility issues that women deal with. And it's like kind of depressing. But in comes Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so I'm saying that with like the biggest smile on my face, because wouldn't that be such a depressing message if I'm like, hey, here's Genesis 3:16 and the rest of the woman like you who suffered in your fertility, have a good day. Like, see you later. Like, that would be kind of depressing. But no, our God is so good. And how thankful can we be that we live on this side of the history timeline and getting to hear the word of the Lord, that he has rescued us from this dominion of darkness that we live in, and he has brought us into his kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption. Redemption is a release. It's a lifting up. And isn't that what we all want? We are all just wanting a release of this struggle of wanting to be pregnant, and we want to be redeemed. Right? We want to carry a baby healthily. We want the beautiful pregnancy glow. We want to get pregnant and like not be worried about or anxious about losing the baby. We just want to be pregnant and be at peace and know exactly what we need to do to keep the baby healthy and know that this baby is in the Lord's hands and just be at peace with that. And you guys, this is the good news. Like, this is the gospel infertility. Jesus loved us and he died for us, and he has rescued us from our dominion of darkness. And remember, we live in a dark and a fallen world. It's clear and it's evident, but he has brought us into his kingdom and into his light. And I just want us to remember that these light and momentary troubles, I know it does not feel light. I know it does not feel momentary. I know it feels dark, and I know it feels like an eternity that you're dealing with this, but no, God's word says it is a light and momentary trouble, and it is refining us to become more like him, so that we can become more like him as we enter into the kingdom of heaven, as we pass from this life to the next. We are becoming mature Christians in him, and we can only become mature in trials, in hard times. If we don't have hard times, how are we to grow? If we don't have hard times, how are we to develop? How are we to learn? How is our faith to grow? How is our belief to grow? And how are we to press in to the Lord? So count this trial as joy. Count this trial as a blessing. Have you thanked God for this struggle? Have you thanked God for your irregular cycles? Have you thanked him for these difficulties, because they are refining you to be like him? And I know that's like a hard message, but it's a good message, because where else is your hope? Where else is your hope? Your hope is not in the multitude of doctors. Your hope is not in Instagram and scrolling what other people have done. Your hope is not in searching Google and hopefully clicking the right link that will give you an accurate answer. Like, your hope is not there. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. And so I just want to bring that word to you. That is the first thing that I believe is a cause of irregular cycles, is that we live in a fallen world. When we go back and we reflect and we look on all the women who dealt with this in the Bible, I wonder, like, how many of them had irregular cycles? And it could be pretty likely that they did, because many of them were said to have been infertile. And they must have had some type of understanding that the woman's menstruation happens regularly. And so if a woman's menstruation did not happen regularly, like, they knew, like, she could not get pregnant. Like, that's not rocket science. You know, we have a lot more science today to be able to determine what type of irregular cycle is this and what type of support would be best for this woman. So that's super cool. But even the woman of old understood this and probably dealt with it. So you're not alone. And the good news is we are rescued from this darkness through Jesus Christ. So keep those things in mind. Okay, so with that said, let's go into the second cause of irregular cycles. The second one is birth control. So like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode or earlier on, most of my clients have been on birth control for some type of time. Some of them, they've been on it for a few months. And I've had clients who have been on it for longer than I had. And yes, I was on birth control for 14 years, which is insane. So, however long you've been on it, whether it has been for a few months or it has been for a multitude of years, it's really important to keep that in mind when you are trying to get pregnant, especially if you have recently gotten off of birth control, I'd say within 6 to 12 months, that's even of greater importance because those chemicals and the synthetic hormones are still just kind of swimming through your system and could be causing an upheaval of disruption in your endocrine system and impacting the health of your body to receive a baby. And I wish I had known that information when I got off of birth control. My husband and I had been married for 3 years. We decided, okay, we're ready to, you know, maybe be open to getting pregnant. We got off birth control and I got pregnant within 3 months. And y'all, I didn't do anything. I didn't know anything about how you should do a detox, you should have your thyroid check, you should blah, 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 like all these things like that you should do after you've been on birth control. I didn't know about any of that. And so we just upped and got pregnant. And sure enough, we found out when I was pregnant that, oh, I have hypothyroidism. And by the way, those two things are linked by scientific research that those who have been on the pill have a higher likelihood of developing hypothyroidism and all that. So I kind of digress in that. But the big thing is that you need to know is if you have been on birth control in the past, that is something really, really important that I will look at with you as a client. When you do your hormone assessment and I look at that in your FEM intake form, I look at like, okay, what kind of birth control was this woman on? How long was she on it for? And I'm factoring that in when I'm writing up your support plan. Because if you have been on birth control for a period of time, like we're going to be doing some detoxing and some cleansing to help your body get rid of all of that stuff. And even if it's been like 4 or 5 years since you've been on birth control, that stuff could still be circulating, especially if you've never done anything to kind of get rid of it and help your body readjust, because it is not like a simple quick fix. Like I am still recovering from my years on birth control, and I'm still doing what I can that's in my control to help my body be healthy. I've been off of it for years and years, but I'm still on that path and am working on that. And it's been a long time. So that's the second, that can be the second cause of irregular cycles. If you've been on that, then that can really disrupt those hormones in such a way that it could take a while for them to get back to being regular. And sometimes, like, if you haven't done anything or you haven't done any help, like, you're just going to stay in irregular cycles until you get that help, because the birth control just like reversed everything so poorly. Your body needs help to get things back into line. Okay, so the third cause of irregular cycles can be endocrine disruptors. So endocrine disruptors are basically, they can be chemicals, they can be like fragrances, they can be pesticides, insecticides, they could be heavy metals. These are all kinds of things that can be endocrine disruptors. And so basically what an endocrine disruptor is like when you are around this thing, when you're around this disruptor, whichever it is that I just listed, whether you are breathing it or drinking it or eating it or putting it on your skin or putting it on your hair, like however you are around this type of disruptor, it is getting into your body. Okay. Like when we breathe things, we can breathe in chemicals or we can breathe in fumes or whatever that is, fragrances, whatever. And it goes into it gets into our bloodstream. If it's just like in the air, our skin is the largest organ in our body. If you remember that way back from science class in high school, or even elementary, like it's a good reminder, like, oh yeah, like our skin absorbs everything. And just because we're not touching it doesn't mean that it's not impacting us. And then of course, obviously anything we're eating or drinking is, if it's contaminated or if it has those chemicals, like it has a potential to become a disruptor to our entire endocrine system. And our endocrine system is made up of glands and organs, and it's our skin, and it's all the beautiful things for how our organs work together like a symphony. Our hormones are a part of that. And if anything is disrupted or canceled off in this beautiful symphony flow, then it's like things kind of start getting shaky and hairy scary in that symphony flow, and the things don't go so well, right? So these are some things I want you guys to keep in mind. Like, obviously, birth control is one of those commonly used endocrine disruptors. Any type of synthetic hormones are endocrine disruptors. So this was another big thing that I had with a client one time. She was struggling. I was working with her. She got connected with her doctor. Her doctor put her on progesterone. And, you know, we were hopeful that like that could be helpful in addition to the other things that she was doing. And she came back to me and she was like, "Becca, I felt awful on this progesterone." I was like, "You're kidding. Like, let's look at it. Like, what was it?" And she looked at it and we looked it up. And sure enough, it wasn't a bioidentical form of progesterone. It was progestogen, which is a synthetic form of progesterone. So anytime we do something that is synthetically made, that can be considered an endocrine disruptor and a xenoestrogen. And we really want to avoid those because they can have pretty rough side effects. Now, I will also say there are some people who have been on bioidentical progesterone, and like I would say probably 90% of the time, 95% of the time, like it's awesome. And then every now and then some people just like don't take well with it. So for the most part though, like it's taken very well when you time it with your cycle and take it after you have ovulated, after you've had your peak, you're taking it in your luteal phase per your doctor's recommendations, all of that. It can be very helpful if you are in need of that. And we see in your chart that that is needed. With that said, it needs to be bioidentical. Bioidentical means like your body recognizes it as if it made that progesterone. And so it actually synthesizes it and it uses it as that hormone versus the synthetic version. It's going to be water soluble and it's not going to be able to bind to the cells. And there's going to be some reaction. There can be some reactions and side effects to that. So you really just want to keep that in mind. Okay. Other commonly used endocrine disruptors, tap water. If you drink out of tap, this is something we're working on in my house to get reverse osmosis or some kind of like really good water filtration system. But the water that you drink can just be filled with junk and chemicals and all kinds of nasty things. I think there are some resources out there if you look for it to find out like what kind of chemicals are in your own water. And then you can pick a water filtration system that matches with the chemicals that like are in your water and you need to get out. But just drinking plain old tap water, no bueno. It's not going to help. Okay. So that can be an endocrine disruptor. Canned food, the metal and around the can, it can be a little rough. So if you are going to get canned foods, BPA free is better. If you do get canned foods, glass is best if you can get it in a glass jar versus metal cans. And then what I always like to tell my clients is just make sure that, you know, if you're using canned foods, like don't have it every time you're cooking dinner. Like try not to have canned food every time you're cooking dinner, you know, maybe you can, alternate it, maybe do a couple times a month in your meal planning or whatever that you do have canned foods, but just be very mindful that the things in there can be some toxic stuff in there. Beauty products, face wash, shampoos, conditioners, soaps, candles, fragrance, perfume, household cleaners, mold is like so big. And even cookware, oh my gosh, like the nonstick cookware, there's like a few brands out there. You guys can do your own research on that, but there's a few brands out there that do a really good job at non-toxic nonstick, but for the most part, it's not gonna be great. So honestly, like just getting with some cast iron or some just regular plain old stainless steel is going to be your best friend. Sodas have lots of junky stuff in there. Laundry detergents, softeners, get rid of the dryer softener sheets. Please get rid of those right now. It's one of the most toxic things you can have. And just get the wool balls, you know, like the little wool softener balls. I don't know. It's made of wool and it's a ball and you put it in your dryer. So use those. Do not use dryer sheets. Throw those away. And then of course, just like heavy metals and plastics and Plastic can be a really big one if you store your food in there. I still have the plastic containers, which I don't really use them that much. I need to do a huge pantry overhaul and like just store things in mason jars. They have the half gallon mason jars that are pretty good size. So you can like store your healthy flour and your healthy, not refined sugar in those or whatever. I'm cracking myself up. Anyways, so yeah. So getting rid of the plastic containers or any type of plastic at all and trying to switch over to glass or stainless steel or the silicone bags that, you know, people are making that are non-toxic are also great. So you guys got lots of little nuggets in there. That was good. That was good. Okay. So let's kind of go back through. I gave you guys lots of tips on endocrine disruptors and like different options or different ideas you can do. So there are your ideas. You can always rewind and listen back to them a little bit and just jot some things down. And as far as the birth control, like how do I help with that? That is what I help you do inside of Fertility Framework. Like you need to have a full, you need to have a full gut cleanse, possibly a liver cleanse. We need to, I work with you on like, hey, here's like different thyroid things to look for. Are we concerned about that for you? Or are we not? Here's what to ask your doctor for in that. And also just looking at your diet and what you're eating and how to just support your diet as well with detoxing from that. So a lot of those tips and roadmaps are inside of my course and especially working with me VIP and one-on-one, because then I'll get my hands and my eyes on your chart and we'll teach you how to chart number one. And then I'll look at your chart and be able to tell you like, oh yeah, like these are probably some things you're dealing with. And so here are my recommendations for you to do based off of that. And then circling back to the fallen world, like what do we do with like trying not to get depressed and trying not to get frustrated in our walk with the Lord by living in this fallen world and our fertility is impacted and like this is the desire of my heart and I just want to be a mom already or I want to give a sibling to my child right now and like it's hard. I just encourage you to remember and like maybe memorize a Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and remember that Jesus has rescued you already from your dominion of darkness. And so praise him in advance for that. Like you might feel like you are in this darkness, but I want you to praise him in advance for rescuing you, because even though your body is not yet rescued and we are praying for healing right now, Jesus, over her body, please, Lord, please put her in a space to get pregnant, Father, and be able to carry that baby all the way through delivery and that baby would be a glory and redemption, and a beautiful picture of your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I just want you to remember that he's already rescued you. He has rescued your spirit. If you have given up your everything and made him your king, like he has brought you into his kingdom and he loves you so much and he has redeemed you. And so I just want you to have hope in that and have hope in Christ. And remember, like, this isn't it. Like, I am being matured in Christ. And so seek contentment in him in the highs and in the lows, and walk with him. And so the last thing that I wanted to kind of talk to you guys about, I talked just a hair about it at the beginning. But now that you kind of know, like, okay, these can be some causes of irregular cycles. And the biggest thing that you guys need to do to be able to get pregnant is, number one, getting your heart right with the Lord. Number two, you need to learn how to chart your cycle so you can see what are you dealing with, because not all irregular cycles are the same. Some of them are going to be different than others, and you may not even realize you have irregular cycles. If you don't know how to chart and you don't know how to identify your different cycle phases, girl, you might not even know. And like, if you're not getting pregnant, but you think you have regular cycles, they might not be as regular as you think. So that is something to keep in mind. And we can learn about that through charting. And then obviously the third thing is lifestyle changes. Just like Katie said at the beginning, like, helping her with lifestyle changes and what are things that she can do to that are in her control. Like, it's like, okay, control what you can control, right? And she is doing those things, but ultimately the most important thing is her heart with the Lord. And so I know that the fear around like, would those things even work? Would that work for me? And I know that fear can be really real for you right now. And I know you may have tried a lot of other things, or you may have been searching for a lot of help and nothing has really helped a lot, or you're not seeing the improvements you want to see, and you're wondering if God is speaking to you right now through me, through this episode. And I know that these are all real questions. And so, number one, like I said at the beginning, you're not alone in thinking these things. You're not alone in this journey. But every testimony that ends with, I got pregnant, or that ends with, I finally know what I'm supposed to do. And like, I know the lifestyle I'm supposed to live. Every journey that ends with that begins with the great testimony of, okay, I am going to try this. And so if this is like tugging on your heart, I really want to just invite you to stop trying to figure this out on your own and stop losing hope. I'm inviting you to stop losing hope. I'm inviting you to stop being in your little pool of darkness and sorrow, because it's not little, and it's really, really big, and it's all encompassing. And I'm inviting you and saying, hey, like, hold my hand and let's go do this. Okay. So I want you to go over to beccayon.com/course and start with me in the fertility framework, because I want to hold your hand and walk with you into the light every single step of the way. Okay. So that is my invitation for you. I would seriously be honored and overjoyed to walk with you. And if not now, that is okay. And I'm so thankful that you listened to this episode and it has touched you, and you are slowly like going the way. But if you want someone to hold your hand while you go on this journey, like, let's do it. Okay. So beccayon.com/course. Let me pray over you. Lord Jesus, we just come before you, and I thank you so much for this day, God. This is like one of my favorite parts of the week, is just getting to speak in to this woman right now, Lord, and allow you to speak through me. And God, I just praise you for your word. I praise you for the comfort and understanding of why we might be dealing with cycles that just aren't regular. And I thank you for the answers that you give us in your word, that like, we are going to have brokenness, we're going to have hardship. And particularly for women, we're going to have hardship in our fertility. And so, Lord, I just lift up this woman and I pray, Lord, that you would abundantly cover her and grace her with just the knowledge and this peace that she has been rescued from this dominion of darkness, and that you have brought her into the kingdom of your Son, in whom we have redemption. And so, Lord, I just pray that that would be the thing that is on her heart and soul of mind, that she's rescued and she's redeemed and she's freed and she's forgiven and she is so dearly, dearly loved and treasured by you. And God, again, I do ask for complete healing and restoration upon her, Lord. And until you see fit to heal her, I just pray you would refine her and refine her and refine her to be all the more perseverant and all the more mature, so that she can lead others into your kingdom of righteousness as well. So Lord, I just pray a complete blessing over her and her family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, girl, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and leave a quick review on Apple Podcasts? Literally just pause this, scroll on down, click write a review, and I promise it'll take 2 seconds, well, maybe like 25 seconds, and it would bless me so much to see what you thought about this episode and to hear your feedback. And also, if you could share this in a quick text message to the friend or family member that you were thinking of while listening to this episode, that would be awesome. It just lights me up to know that this podcast is helping you and other people. And girl, I pray that your progesterone is awesome. I'll meet you back next Thursday for another episode. Have a blessed day.